Thank you very much, Little John, and the Word of Truth. Returning to the 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, it's always good, if you can, to turn up the Scriptures and follow it as we read, and then you get the benefit both of hearing the Word and seeing the Word, and you have two senses working at the same time, so that the Scriptures of truth might come to your heart with power. And that's our prayer, that God will take His Word and write it indelibly upon our hearts tonight. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. And he begins then to give his testimony, what he was before his conversion, how he persecuted Christians, and give his voice to their death. Go down to verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things, than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. But I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Ending the reading at verse 29, may the Lord take his word and write it indelibly upon all of our hearts. Let's bow together just for a moment as we seek God in prayer. If you're a child of God in this meeting, you pray with us that the Lord will come in the fullness of his power and might and speak now through his word, and for those that are in this meeting without the Lord, that they might hear, and in hearing they might believe. Our Father, we thank thee that it has pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We thank thee that salvation is of the Lord. And we pray tonight that thou wilt speak in this meeting, that thou wilt take up the word that we've read already, and as we come to the exposition of it, that thou wilt write it upon our hearts. And may we be impressed with the truth of the Scriptures. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt move by thy Spirit, and in the preaching of the gospel, may there be those who are awakened and brought to see Christ as the Savior, that they indeed will be altogether persuaded concerning their need of him. Lord, hear and answer prayer, and glorify thine own precious name. Amen. Taking for our subject this evening, almost persuaded to be a Christian, we're using the words of King Agrippa in verse 28 of this passage of Scripture, where the king said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Saul of Tarsus had a most remarkable conversion. In fact, there's no other case like it in all the Bible. It has been referred to as a Damascus Road experience, a mighty intervention of God, a sudden intervention of God, and an unexpected intervention of the Lord. And sinners need such an experience. Now, they're not going to see physical blinding lights from heaven as Saul of Tarsus did, and they're not going to hear the Lord speaking audibly from heaven, nor will they see Christ in his glory as Saul did amidst the brightness of the dazzling sun, nor will they be struck blind as he was. But still, they need such an encounter with God that brings them face to face with the claims of Christ and face to face with the issues of eternity. They need a mighty intervention. They need a sudden intervention. And they need an unexpected intervention. May God step into your life tonight if you're not saved. When Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor, was converted to Christ, God told Ananias that he was a specially chosen vessel. You remember back in the 9th chapter where his conversion is recorded for us. There at verse 15, the Lord said to Ananias, "Go thy way, for he that is Saul of Tarsus is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." He would preach to the children of Israel, and of course he did. But he was the great missionary to the non-Jewish world. He preached to the Gentiles. And part of his work and ministry would bring him into contact with the great men of this world, kings and rulers. And of course, that's the history that we have in these chapters of the book of Acts. We've been reading about one such account 27 years after the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, standing before King Agrippa. Saul of Tarsus became the great Apostle Paul. Now, he didn't get a name change. We read about those in the Bible who had their names changed, and that was very significant. It would seem that Paul had two names from his birth. He had a Hebrew name, which was Saul, which means desired. But he also had a Roman name, for he was a Roman citizen from birth, and that Roman name was Paul. And by the way, Paul means little. The Bible commentators tell us that the apostle was a little man. So when we think of little John and you see his size, you can visualize. I don't know whether Paul was just as big that way or not, but Paul was a little man. Some have suggested he was only 4.5 feet tall, this little man. But what a giant he was in the hand of Almighty God. So he didn't get a name change, but there was somewhere along the line, and of course we read about it in the history of the Acts of the Apostles, where he became known more as Paul, the Apostle Paul. And that was when he began to go to the Gentile world. He was known by his Roman name. God made him into that special vessel that would proclaim Christ the Savior. He became a great preacher, a great missionary, a great soul winner, church planter, a man that was mightily used of the Lord. Thousands upon thousands of people owe their conversion under God to this man. And there, at the right hand of the Father, this very day, that great multitude who have already gone on to glory as they rejoice in the Lamb upon the throne, there at the side of the Father, they are thanking God for the day that they met the Apostle Paul, and through him they heard the message of the gospel. In our reading, he's standing before a Roman king, Herod Agrippa II. He was the great grandson of Herod the Great, that Herod that was responsible for the murder of the infant children when Jesus came into the world. He was the son of Herod Agrippa I, who slew James, the brother of John, with the sword and imprisoned Peter. That man, that Herod, died tragically at the age of 53, being eaten of worms, as the Bible tells us. This Herod, Herod Agrippa II, came with Bernice. Bernice was his sister, to Caesarea to greet Festus. Hearing about the Apostle Paul, who was kept in confinement, a curious interest was aroused in his heart, and he wanted to meet him and he wanted to hear him. In fact, he says here, I would also hear the man myself. And so the apostle is called to appear before this king, and he gives his testimony. It's a good thing to give your testimony. And Paul did this before Agrippa, telling Agrippa how the Lord saved him and how the Lord called him into the work. And as Paul spoke with power about his Damascus Road experience and the great salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, it struck a chord in the heart of this ungodly man. So much so that he says here in our text, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Agrippa was interested in what Paul had to say. He was intrigued by what he heard, all these Old Testament fulfillments in the very person of Jesus Christ. And he was moved inwardly. He was convicted. And Agrippa almost got saved, but he stopped short. How many have followed in the steps of this man ever since? Countless multitudes, no doubt. Almost there. They've almost become a Christian. They've almost taken that step of faith that brings them into Christ, makes them an inheritor of life everlasting, and will at the end of the day bring them home at last to heaven. But they stopped short. This still happens today. Through the centuries, millions of people have been found in that position. And it happens very especially in gospel missions. You know, gospel missions are special times. Times when the Lord is pleased to pass by in his word. Times when God speaks with power. And you know, as men and women sit beneath the sweet influence of the gospel and they hear the message proclaimed, very often something happens in their heart and God begins to move and God begins to melt and the Spirit of God is striving. And those individuals think about their eternal destination. And they think about the issues of eternity. Where they will be when they leave this life. And they think about Christ the Savior. And they almost get saved. They almost become a Christian. I've known many in the past who have shown a real interest in spiritual things. They've been concerned. They've been moved. They've been troubled. They've been almost there. But they turned away and they didn't get saved. And they're still not saved. Do you ever think where King Agrippa is today? Do you ever think about the thousands of people like him that heard the gospel, were moved inwardly, the Spirit of God was speaking, and yet, even though they were almost convinced, almost there, they turned away from God's speaking voice and they didn't get saved. Do you ever think of where they are? Oh, my friends are lost. In a Christless eternity forevermore. And so be warned and take heed tonight. It's not enough to be almost persuaded to be a Christian. I want to take up the subject tonight with you. And I want you to notice this man who makes this statement, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I want you to think first of all of the perception that he had. This man possessed knowledge. He had understanding. He had light in many spiritual things. We read there at the beginning of the chapter in verses 2 and 3 that Paul says to him, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Agrippa was acquainted with the Jewish doctrine and tradition. It seems that this man was a scholar. He was a great man of learning, of academic ability, and he was particularly conversant in Jewish learning. In fact, this man himself was a proselyte to Judaism, as his predecessors were, as his forefathers were, and people knew that King Agrippa professed the religion of the Jews. Therefore, he understood more than all the other Roman governors that the apostle had the opportunity to speak to. I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. This Roman king was well versed in the scriptures of the Old Testament. He was in a position to make an informed judgment about the controversy that was raging between Paul and the Jews concerning Jesus Christ being the Messiah. Because this man knew the Bible. This man knew the Old Testament. Agrippa knew about the one who would come and bruise the serpent's head. He knew about those Old Testament sacrifices pointing so vividly to the cross work of Jesus Christ. And he could see in his mind how these types and shadows and symbols and pictures were fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. He knew the Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is a wonderful psalm about the cross and the sufferings of our Savior. He knew all about Isaiah 53, which again leads us to Calvary, to the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And therefore this man was well acquainted with what the Word of God had to say. He was not in darkness when it came to spiritual truth. At the conclusion of his testimony, having spoken about the sufferings and the death and the resurrection of Christ, Paul adds these challenging words in verse 26 and verse 27. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. But I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. And then he addresses himself personally to the king, and he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Agrippa believed the Bible. This man believed the record of the prophets, what the prophets had to say concerning Jesus Christ. You know, it's a great start in gospel preaching when you're speaking to unsaved people who believe the Bible and they have a knowledge and they have an understanding in the things of God. They've heard about the sufferings and the death of Christ and what it means to be saved. And when you're talking to people like that, it's a tremendous start because they have understanding and they have light and they have truth. You know, sometimes when our missionaries go to distant lands and they're seeking to reach those who have never heard the gospel, they are at a disadvantage. They really do need to begin with the ABC, not only of the overall gospel message, but the ABC of the Bible. Many of you will have heard of the organization New Tribes Mission. That's what they are. They seek to reach new tribes with the gospel. And really, it's years' work before the gospel is preached. They have to go in among these new tribes that speak a different language. They have to come to an understanding of their language. They have to get it into some kind of written form. They have to become acquainted with it enough to begin to translate the Bible. Where do they begin? They don't begin with Christ crucified. My friends, you need to hear about the fall. You need to hear about sin before you hear about the remedy for sin. And so they begin back in Genesis. And they teach about God creating the heavens and the earth and making man in his image, in the holy image of God, and how that dark day overtook the world when man fell from his original state into sin, and how that through Adam all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so they begin there, and they begin to teach what the Bible has to say from the Old Testament through, and then they get to Christ. They get to the cross, which is the great remedy for sin. Of course, there are places in Northern Ireland where the same can be said. You know that we have the heathen living on our doorstep. With the passing of the generations, there has arisen a people who know not the Bible, who know not the gospel, who haven't got the light and the understanding and the knowledge that many of you have in this meeting tonight. Oh, not away in darkest Africa. Not away there in the heart of some South American country. I'm talking about Northern Ireland. The period of the judges is repeating itself. And way back then, we're told of Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, and all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And then immediately, we are informed in Judges 2 and verse 10 that there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. And this is the era in which we are living in the United Kingdom. And that's an indictment upon the Church of Jesus Christ in our country, by the way, that they're still living in darkness. You know, there's people who have never heard the message of the gospel who live within this country. When you speak to them about Jesus, you're speaking a foreign language. How good it is when they have a knowledge and they have an understanding already, like this man had. You have a starting point with them. Then sometimes we deal with people who are professed atheists. I personally believe there's no such thing as an atheist. People profess it and they say they don't believe in God, but I think deep down in their heart they know that there is a supreme being, that there is a God. But we have these people who say they're atheists. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus Christ the Savior. I don't believe in the cross work of Calvary. I don't believe that you need to be saved. And such people are often hard to talk to. It takes time. It takes patience. Sometimes it takes courage to bring them the message of the gospel. But you know what a blessed thing it is when you have a starting point like the Apostle Paul had with this man who had understanding. When you talk to people like Agrippa, they believe in God. They believe the scriptures. They believe the record that God has given. They've heard about Jesus Christ. They've heard about the cross. They know their need of God's salvation. They understand about heaven and hell and about the great eternity. And my friends, that's a good start. I know that many who attend our missions fall into this category. Some of this meeting tonight, you're not in total darkness like the heathen. You're not a professing atheist. No, my friends, you possess knowledge and light and understanding in the truth of the Bible. For many of you, you've been brought up in godly homes, under Christian influences. Some of you have come through Sunday school. You've attended many a gospel meeting and many a gospel mission. And my friends, you know the truth tonight. You know that you need to be saved. In fact, some of you, we could say concerning you, that you are experts in these matters, just like Agrippa was an expert. I can look you in the face tonight and I can say, I know that thou believest. You know the Bible's true, and you know that you need to be saved. The perception that he had. But I want you to notice, secondly, the privilege that he enjoyed. He had the privilege of having a faithful preacher stand before him and present the gospel. He heard the testimony of Paul, a marvelous testimony of the grace of God in a man's life. Paul spoke to him about his past. If you just glance your eye back to verse 10 of the chapter, speaking about persecution, he said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. And Paul is saying, as he stands before King Agrippa, this is what I was. This is my dark past. I was opposed to Christianity. I took my stand against Christ and all who professed the name of Jesus Christ. And I did it vehemently. I put them in prison. I gave my voice of consent to their death. I was happy when Christians died. And Paul says, this is what I was before the grace of God reached me and saved me. He spoke about his past. And then he spoke about the day in which he met the Lord in verse 13 at midday. Thinking back to Acts chapter 9, that memorable day as he takes his journey on the road to Damascus. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And he goes on to speak about what happened to him that day on the Damascus road when he met the Lord. This is what I was. I was a sinner far away from Christ. But now the Lord has stepped in. And now the Lord has met me. And he saved me by his grace. And then he goes on to speak about his call. In verse 16, how the Lord told him to rise and stand upon his feet. But I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul was called of God to be a preacher of the gospel, to turn men from darkness. And he's giving his testimony before the king. By the way, this king was living an immoral life. You see the lady's name that is mentioned here, Bernice. She was at one time married to his uncle, one of the Herods. She was married at the age of 13. She had two children to him. He died at the age of 20. And then she came to live with her brother, King Agrippa. And she lived in a relationship with him. And then she went on to be the mistress of another Roman ruler. And this man was living an evil life. But Paul says, you know, the Lord has saved me. The Lord has transformed my life. And he sent me to preach the gospel that men might be brought from the darkness of sin to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And then he spoke to him about repentance. This man needed to repent. Look at verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. This is the message that he's preaching to the king. This is what I was. Here's the day that I met the Lord and I was converted. He's called me to preach. Here's the message that I have to preach. It's a message about repentance. Turning from your sin. Turning on to the living God. And then he speaks about the death and the resurrection of Christ in verse 23. How that Christ should suffer. And that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. And should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And I'm putting it to you tonight, my friends, in this meeting. This is the privilege that the king enjoyed. Listening to the message of the gospel. Never, never forget how great a privilege it is to hear the gospel. To have a faithful man of God stand before you and to preach the truth. And many of you have that privilege every week. And you've been having this privilege during our mission. And we thank God for our brother Morrow in the past week and his faithfulness to the Lord and his faithfulness to the souls to whom he has been preaching. You know, there's many who do not enjoy this privilege. We've talked about the heathen tonight, including those that live around us that have never heard the message of the gospel. They've never had this privilege of hearing the truth of God as it is expounded in God's precious word. William Hutchings, in his children's hymn based on the text, "Suffer the little children to come unto me," referred to the many thousands who have never heard his name. He said, "The Bible they have never read. They know not that the Savior said, 'Suffer little children to come unto me.'" Furthermore, there are those who sit in places of worship where this book is not proclaimed and the truths of the gospel are not expounded, and they do not enjoy the privilege of hearing what this man heard and what you're hearing during the mission. But you have this blessing. Blessing of the gospel being preached to you. To be told that you are a sinner in need of God's mercy. To be told about the sufferings and the death of the blessed Savior who died upon the cross of Calvary. To be warned faithfully to flee from the wrath to come is indeed an immeasurable privilege. And you're having that privilege tonight. The perception that he had, the privilege that he enjoyed. Look at verse 28. The persuasion that he felt. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." This man was moved inwardly. In such a short space of time, he was nearly convinced to be a Christian. He is brought to see something about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of man, the promised one from ancient times, that those Old Testament prophecies had indeed their accomplishment in him. It was true what the prophets had to say concerning Christ. And as Paul seeks to reason with him and convince him and win him over to Christ, this king, I want you to see it, is almost persuaded. He felt conviction in his heart that it was the right thing to do, to turn from his sins unto Christ and become a Christian. And how many of you in this meeting have been there? You remember missions that you've attended in the past, gospel services, when you sat beneath the influence of the Word. And as you sat there, God was moving in your heart and stirring your soul. And you knew that you needed to be saved. And back then, you were almost persuaded. You almost took that step that brought you into Christ. You were almost convinced to be a Christian. We think of those times when your friends and family members faithfully witnessed to you about the things of God. Times in your own home when you pondered over the truth of the Bible. Perhaps even tonight in this meeting, you're sitting there and you feel a persuasion in your heart. You feel a drawing, a tugging, a constraining. Thank God for the power of the Word and for the striving of the Spirit. But my friends, Agrippa stopped short. He stopped short. There was a persuasion, but he wasn't fully persuaded. He didn't become a Christian. I want you to see the path that he followed. And that was one of sin. He continued in his rejection. Though moved, though convinced about many a thing, though convicted in his heart, he stifled that conviction. He turned away from the speaking voice of the Lord. He neglected salvation. He rejected Christ. And he continued on the downward journey that leads to hell. And we never read about him ever getting saved, either in the account that is given to us in the Bible or in the historical accounts that we have in the history books. What about you, my friend, in this meeting? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do about your soul's salvation? While the voice of God is calling, the hymn writer says, be in time. While the Spirit of God is drawing and you feel those inner compulsions of heart, that conviction in your soul, that's the time to come to Christ. You know, how did Paul feel about this? This man that stood before him seeking to persuade him to turn to the Lord. How did he feel about it when King Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? Well, we see that he wished that he was completely convinced about his need. In verse 29, Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am. Agrippa, I wish that you were a Christian. I wish that you'd get beyond being almost persuaded. Agrippa, I want you and the people that are listening here in this courtroom, I wish that they were altogether persuaded to be a Christian. And my friend, that's my desire for you in this meeting. If you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, if you do not know the Lord, that's my heart's prayer. That's the prayer of God's people in this gospel service tonight, that you will become a Christian, that you will be altogether persuaded that this indeed is a step that you need to take. Oh, that you would be warned tonight, that you would understand that almost means you're not there. If you're almost home, my friend, you're not at home. Some of you will remember on the 5th of August, 1997, a 747 Korean Air passenger jet crashed in Guam. The plane was on final approach, just a couple of miles from the airport. It was nearly at the airport after a long flight from Seoul, South Korea. Yet something went wrong at the last minute and the plane crashed, killing well over 200 people. The plane was almost safely at the airport, but it was not at the airport, my friend. And for you to be almost persuaded to be a Christian means that you're not a Christian. It means that you stop short. It means that you're not saved. Oh, that tonight, and I wish it with all my heart, that you were altogether persuaded, that you will take that step of faith that will bring you into Christ, where you will be safe for time and for eternity. How is it with your soul in this meeting tonight? That's our concern. That's why the mission is here. How is it with your soul, your immortal soul? Where will you be in the great eternity of God? Are you ready for death? Are you ready for heaven? If not, my friend, get right with God tonight and come to Jesus Christ, the Savior of man. Let's bow together in prayer. We believe the Lord has been speaking in the mission. I want to thank you for coming. We appreciate your presence here. But my friend, if you're not a Christian, you need to be saved. You need to have a right, saving, vital, living relationship with the Son of God. You need to know him as the Redeemer of your soul. He went to the cross. He laid down his life. He bore the eternal wrath of God against sin, so that you and I, guilty, sinful, and hell deserving and undeserving, might be saved. He did that, my friend, for you and I. Will you not come to him? Will you not trust him as your Savior tonight? And take that step of faith and be altogether persuaded. We're here as a servant of Christ. If you're concerned in your heart, don't go away from this meeting without the Lord. Don't do what King Agrippa did, for he went on to die in his sins and he was lost forever. You come to Christ tonight. We're here to help you. And if you'd like to talk to us after the meeting, we're here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for being with us, for the messages and song, for the preaching of the word. We thank thee for this historical account that the Lord has given in his word about a man who came so far, was convinced about many things, who even believed in his heart that what the prophets had to say about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was true. And yet he stopped short. Being almost persuaded, he turned away. Oh God, we pray for any in this meeting tonight who are almost persuaded, that they will become altogether persuaded, and that they will get into Christ tonight and be saved for time and eternity. Hear this, our prayer, for Jesus' sake. Amen.